Fox. Jonathan, how's it going?
Great. How are you guys?
It's just
delightful.
It's delightful.
It's lovely outside.
I wish it was snow.
Yeah, rain is the worst.
From a coaching perspective,
wind is awful because you can't control it, but rain's no fun. I mean, we know Gresh, he doesn't like the rain.
No, I don't like the rain. I don't want snow because I need to leave town tomorrow. So
where are you going?
I'm going to Aruba. With all due respect, I do not wish for snow.
Are you being a little optimistic? Are you going to be back for next weekend if we have a game?
Let me put it this way.
He put a lot on this team a long time
ago.
That's true. To get this trip.
You know what? I showed faith in this organization a long time ago to get the bye.
I thought you were going to Aruba to do something that's legal there that's not legal.
No. So I'm going there to be fat and lay and drink and sit in the sun.
Well, that's
which you can't get here.
Yeah, we don't need that. But
hey,
this
I'm around European people. Being fat is no big deal.
This is from a guy who's looking rather tanned himself after the holidays.
Exactly.
Anyways, we move right along.
Yes, let's move along.
Today,
yeah, not all of
with
us
the game,
the Jets.
We've been watching football for a long time here. I don't remember a season as unpredictable, as unexplainable, as unthinkable as this one, where we're heading in today and Miami's at the top of the heap of the teams who could get into the sixth seed, right? If they win, they need the least amount of help. But as we're heading into the end of these early games, you're looking at San Diego and you're looking at Pittsburgh as the two teams who could get that sixth and final spot.
And people would have counted them out 4 or 5 weeks ago, would have said probability was zero.
Yeah, and I don't like Pittsburgh in the playoffs. And I know they're hurt, but anytime you got a coach and a quarterback that's won, you don't want those
guys.
Well,
India's won. Cincinnati is leading. The Jets are up on Miami 20-7, and Cincinnati's up 27-17 on Baltimore. So
teams that needed to win to get in, like a Miami, like a Baltimore, to improve, either get in or make it likely that they would. I guess Cincinnati's playing for seeding, but that's what makes it great. You know, that's what makes it great. And we've talked about it the last couple of weeks. And I remember, Gresh, at the Miami game, you said, "Look, path to number one wide open." And the one thing I said to you was, the one thing I know for certain about the next 3 weeks of the season is that things that people think are going to happen aren't.
Yeah, but I've never seen it like this, though.
And
why is that? Is it by design to a degree because of the scheduling?
Look, I think part of it is by design, meaning the salary cap and the salary cap makes it more equal from a competitive standpoint than any other sports league in the world. And then you couple that in with the attrition that happens in this game that doesn't happen in others. And then emotion has a big effect in all sport, but I think in football it's different in being mentally prepared and emotionally ready. And the variables are so many and it's hard to manage all of them, and that's why unpredictable things happen. And that's why prognosticating this game is very difficult, and it's why the ratings this weekend, I'm sure, will be through the roof.
Well, against Baltimore, jumped out to the early lead, so hopefully got rid of one of the bugaboos of this team, which was the slow start. And then you mentioned up and down. You figure you're not going to lose in Miami. It's a hat and T-shirt game. You don't lose many of those. You lose that one, and then you lay one on Baltimore. You know,
hurt Baltimore. That ruined their season.
In a lot of ways, it did. But this has been a different kind of year, even for your organization.
It has. It's been fun watching Bill and the staff deal with the losses we've had of veteran key players, but pull down into our depth and watching that Baltimore game. And watching the offense perform in a way that it hasn't really performed in a long time, meaning more of an emphasis on the run than on the pass, and then seeing the defense play the way we did in a place that's very hard for, I think, opposing defenses to play. People talk about the offense. I actually think it's a pretty hard place for opposing defenses to play. It was nice to see the group, especially of young players that have been drafted or signed as free agents over the last 3 years, come together and put on a dominant performance like that. Because if we're going to do anything in the playoffs, we're going to need that type of effort.
You know, I think one of the things you should hand to Brady when he eventually calls it a career years from now is you need to give him a plaque for all the receivers he made. He gave 100 catches to, you know, from Troy Brown to Welker and now Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman, who was a free agent in the offseason, it really wasn't part of the picture, is four catches away from 100 catches.
Well, and he came into the league 4 years ago as a free agent, seventh round quarterback out of Kent State. And it's been fun to watch his evolution. And if he's not the best punt returner in the league, he's one of the best punt returners in the league, and statistically, and it's been great to watch. And I think a statistic that I saw this week from one of our guys was that we have just under 25% of our salary cap on IR. I think it was like 23% of our cap either on IR or guys we did injury settlements with this year. And I think that if you saw that statistic in the abstract at the start of the year, you'd say, well, you don't have a chance. And then you come out and we're where we are at this point in the season. With that having happened to us, the benefit of that is we're getting lots of young guys, great experience in key moments. And that type of depth is going to make this football team or any football team better because you're deeper.
Well, I think for the cap is crap and the old don't know how to draft and build a team crowd, this, what you hope to be a 12-win season after today, is the year that you can tell them to shove up the keister.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't for, you know, and like Silver Saliga, who's come on as of late, that's a practice squad guy. That's someone you cultivated, you nurtured, you developed under the radar. It's more than just draft picks like Jamie Collins and people like that. The methods here work because there are very few teams in the NFL could lose the high-end talent you've lost and win 12. Maybe they get to the playoffs, but they don't win a division, win 12, and get a bye.
You know something, Gresh? I got to add something to that. You know, because we talked about this a little while ago. When Gronk went out, I thought, it's over. I said, this team can only handle so many injuries. I said, this is it. I don't see it. But then Brady and Bill and Josh went to work, and they changed the offense again. So it's like this season has been a combination of all the offenses that Brady has had to deal with since he's been here. He's gone from having a star guy in Gronkowski to having, I got to throw to the open receiver, which if you look at his career, he's had to do all of that. So this is like a summary of what he's done his entire career.
Tom is so mentally tough and such a great leader that I don't think anything really affects him. He just believes he can do it. He has patience. He has confidence. He's got great intellect, and obviously he's got amazing skills. And I think that quarterback is the one position in this league where when Gresh talks about the cap is crap stuff, I get why there are people who say go invest a ton of money in this sexy free agent. I get it. I mean, it's pro sports. It's fun to talk about. And whoever that sexy free agent is a great talent. But if that person doesn't play quarterback, put the quarterback position aside for a minute, I think depth trumps everything. Quality depth trumps everything else in this game. Because the one thing you know for certain is that stuff's going to happen during the season that there's no way to plan for. And the only way to deal with the attrition that happens during an NFL season is to have quality depth. If somebody wants to roll the dice and invest in two, three huge names and put a ton of money in them, highly skilled guys, and hope that, A, they stay healthy, and, B, you can surround them with enough guys to make it work, that might work one out of five, one out of seven, one out of eight times. But if you want to try to do it consistently, I think that's a tough strategy to pursue.
I know that I saw at the latest round of owners' meetings there was some stuff about improvements to Gillette Stadium. I know there was some chatter about funding all that so that it doesn't hit necessarily season ticket holders in the pocket. But what do you have planned here to improve the facility?
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on. Before I get to what was approved at the meeting, for fans that are here today and if they're on the east side of the building, they'll see an expansion starting, which is we're going to expand the football operations side of the house by about 25,000 square feet approximately, so that video and scouting, which today sit on a floor above football ops, can move down. And on top of it, the football operation element of our building, which was really planned 15 years ago by Pete Carroll when he was the coach, and opened with Gillette 12 years ago, can now be more modernized. We've done some things the last few off seasons, but now we need more space. We need more technology-related capabilities. The way the work of a football team is done today is very different than it was 12 years ago. And I'm sure we can get into more of those details next season when it's opened up in the preseason. So that's what you see going on here today. The league, we have to pay for that ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
What you saw get approved at the league level is the league really wants to make sure that stadiums continue to stay current from a capital perspective, that buildings don't get old and decrepit, because building brand new buildings going forward is going to be very hard to accomplish. So they're letting stadiums, even relatively new ones like ours that are 12 years old, take advantage of, instead of paying the visiting team share of club seat premium, so one third of club seat revenue goes into a pool that all the teams share in. The league will let you keep that money to invest in things that they agree are fan amenities and that can keep a stadium feeling and looking fresh from a ticket holder's point of view. And I assume we're running quick on time. If we're not, I'll get into what some of those are. But so what you'll see, I think you've already seen it over the last couple of years. Anyhow, we've done stuff with the boards and the Wi-Fi and the new ribbon boards. You're going to see more spaces where fans can get together, people who are ticket holders, and go and watch the game in different environments and just experience different things during the game.
Jonathan, we look forward to it. We look forward to a great game today. And we'll talk to you. I'm not going to say when, because he gets all wiggied out. If I say in a couple weeks.
Want me to just do it?
I'm just going to say.
I can deal with the heat.
I'm going to talk to you in a little bit.
I don't want your vacation to get cut short, Grash.
There we go.
Jonathan, thank you very much. Jonathan Kramer, president of the Patriots.